hear of the eagle's wing. I spread my wings and fly to where Jehovah Eagle is calling in the sky. Here comes the snow and dove. He leads me as I fly. I stay in line. The trumpet's mine. He's coming for his bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the holy name, Heavenly Father. We bless you, O Lord God Almighty. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our able to be gathered together, Lord, as a people, a little here, a little there, everywhere in this part of the world. And this has been the Lord's Day, Father, where the people would gather together. And as the earth rotates, Lord, as the sun rises, Lord, over the each every nation, Lord, as the people gather up together to worship Thee and to fellowship. Lord, may You bless every one of them, Lord, as together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May that the Word, O Father, be the main cause, Lord, as the people gather. Father, I ask that You bless even now, Lord, as we are here today. Bless the ministration of the Word. Bless our hearing, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And I have preached on the subject of truth many times. And sometimes, you know what? We can hear it, but we don't remember it. And some of you may not have heard this message because you came in fellowship with us in about 10 years or so ago. And I want to say this, that everyone who is hearing me out there, especially those in Singapore, or even those who are out there, who want to get up for fellowship, you are having it in the home because of the COVID measurement here we have, your fellowship in the home. Once again, I'm going to say this, oh, but Brother God, please don't nag and nag and nag. Yeah, you know, Paul nags a lot. He too nags a lot in the Bible. You know, he nags a lot. You don't use the word nag. He want to edify you. When it comes to Paul, Peter, in the Bible, we say, oh, they're edified. But when it comes to Brother God, he nags a lot. Oh, yeah, that perhaps is true too. When we come to the fellowship, whether it is we gather as physical like you were used to, or even now, COVID, that's where your testing time is, do you come and gather on time for fellowship? Oh, but there are only three or four of us at home now, maybe me and my wife and my children and what? That doesn't mean that you dilly-dally and do do whatever you feel like. It's not as if it's not important to gather on time. It shows our attitude. I say this again. If the Bible said that you know so often, King David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So if you are glad to come to the house of the Lord, we come here to fellowship, to worship, and hear the word of God, that must be a gladness, not dragging our feet. Especially now in this time of this measurement, some of you, I guess, you know, take your own sweet time and, oh, let the church sing and I just take my own sweet time having my cup of coffee. Don't do that. Because you see, you're not showing disrespect to me. You're showing disrespect to the Lord. You know? That's the thing when, remember Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold whatever they have and give some of the money to the Lord, and they keep some part of the money to themselves. And they came to Peter and said, that's all we have, and we give it to you. You see, Peter said, you're not lying to me. You're lying to the Lord. You see, you're not lying to me. You're not deceiving man. You're not disrespecting man. You're disrespecting the Lord. And I want to emphasize this time and again, perhaps you need to be recalled. You know, when you gather, get on time. And may the Lord bless you for that. And that's the reason why our attitude is so important and our habit is so important, because we say we know the truth. You know, so I'm going to bring up the truth to you today again, truth. Because when we talk about we have the truth and we don't act that we have the truth, and that is bad. Amen. Alright, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Alright, so, and this is the Old Testament. What the word truth in the Old Testament is emet, or imyotna, means to be steadfast, reliable. God is steadfast, and he is reliable, because he is truth. So one important thing here, we look at the verse here, the way it is described. He is the rock. So what do we mean by understand when you use the word rock? It's a very common word that even is used in the English language. You know, you go to, I think it's Spain or wherever it is, Gibraltar? What is Gibraltar? No, I forgot. Spain, I think it's Spain. Alright, right, where the ships coming from into the Mediterranean Sea, alright, or going out, that's where they're changing. Alright, Gibraltar, they call it the rock. Yeah, they were, because it's huge, there's a big mountain there, that, the rock. And, well, it always means something solid, something stable, strong, mighty, a fortress, reliability. And of course, if you pick up a stone, you know, the size of a tennis ball or a golf ball, you know, you can call it a rock. You can call it a rock. But that is not the kind of rock we're talking about here. But the Bible does show the difference between a little rock and a rock. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, we know what Jesus said. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Right? So when we talk about rock with or something stable, and Jesus can say, I'm the truth. So today we're talking about truth now. Psalms 31, verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hand I command my spirit. And this is where Jesus was fulfilling scripture, this scripture. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. O Yehovah Elohim. So we know truth is found in God. He's the only one that is the rock. And because God manifests himself in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Word of God was poured out upon Jesus, into Jesus, so that when Jesus ministered the Word of God, he is known as the rock. He is the truth. That's why he said, I am the truth. Because God's Word is poured into him. So I want you to know that. Psalms 119, 160. Thy Word is truth. It's true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning. Now, that makes us to understand that's where you find in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was big flesh. You know, and dwelt among us. So that's why if we understand Godhead, this is important for us to really understand the Godhead. Alright, as the brother, you know, in America, Brother Lee in Tennessee was giving me his testimony how that he was, you know, with the world, the white church of God, is Armstrong, and not really understanding the Godhead properly, and he was still searching, and when he read the book and come to their message and understand the Godhead. And so the same thing is Sister Gratty, you know. So we understand that when God manifests himself to us, he's revealing his own truth to us. So what is truth now? Truth is not some black word written on white paper. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when he said, what is the way? What is the way? You know, we're talking about the way. As many, you know, people in the world who don't believe in the Bible, who is not Christian, who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many ways to heaven. There are many ways to heaven. Okay, there are many ways, but there is only one, the way. Just like there are many truths, but there is one who is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And only in that way of the truth that leads you to the life, he told him. It's in a person. It's not even a teaching. Do you get what I'm saying? You can read the Bible and know everything in the Bible, but if you do not know the person, you may know truth, but if you do not know the person, then something is very wrong with you. You know, when I'm not sure if they're still doing that today in secondary school, high school, whatever. You know, back in those days, there is this religious subject, right? You can take religion. There's no more here, right? I see. But well, back in those days, you can choose, you know, a subject, a religious subject. So you study the Bible and so on and so on. You can study, study the Bible as much as you want. But if you don't have the revelation of the truth, of the person. Because the truth leads to the person. Real truth leads to the person. There are many ways, but there's only one way. The way. There are many truths, but there's one known as the truth. And there are many lives, so kind of life that you want to believe in, that is produced by all the religions, but there's only one that is the life. You see. Right. So, you know, when I look at the world today, when I discuss with people, and you know, especially those in paganism, they will use what we have in the Old Testament. They will say to me, look, what's wrong with that religion offering chicken, offering fruits to their gods, to their deities? When you believe the Bible, and in the Bible you also have that. You offer burnt offering, you sacrifice animals. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, one other thing they have forgotten is that they're looking into the past. And what God had done was to make Adam and Eve to recognize that they have sinned against the Lord. And they need someone, a redeemer, some innocent something, to shed his blood to cover their sin. And God is using that sacrifice, the imagery, so that man may recognize. So when Adam's people descended down, they remember about burnt offering. Then not about trespass offering. But you see, after the line began to mix and you have the Cainic line, they have their own religion. After they move away from Yahweh, they begin to invoke the name of Yahweh upon an idol. Remember, and that's why when they were in Egypt, remember they came out of Egypt, and Moses was on the mountain, for 40 days, 40 nights, and the people were there and at the foot of the mountain. They were telling Aaron to build us, to make us gods. You see what I'm saying now? This is the carnal nature. The people here in Moses' time, they know and be taught, they have seen the power of God. Yet, they want something visible. So they are, made us gods, make us Elohim, gods. Plural, multiple, or just one, magnificent one. The word Elohim is not necessarily plural as a number, but plurality has in magnitude, power. So Aaron built them a golden calf, just one, and said, "This is Elohim that brought you out of Egypt." And they worshipped that golden calf. So where did that come from? Carnality of man, if you go back to where it happened just after the garden, after the king, when he offered the fruit sacrifices, it wasn't about fruits, it wasn't about vegetables, it was about the blood. The blood is contaminated. The serpent nature has infiltrated into mankind, and that's what Cain was. And when Cain's people multiplied, they began to offer animal sacrifice too. But then they began to make images of the animals and invoke the name of God in those man-made idols, images, be it a bull, be it a lamb, whatever. And later on, come by and by, it begins to evolve to where you have, a female god. Right. Baal. Chemosh. All kinds. We have one from what we have seen in the archaeology, you know, the painting or the artifacts or whatever. It's a bull. So, what is truth? Yet, the Bible is telling us how it happened. But paganism, people who do not believe in the Bible, who don't recognize the Bible as the Word of God given to mankind, that they may look at the Bible and understand where man came from and how man had fallen into all that sin. And when all these things, how did it appear? How they came about. You understand? So when we look in the Bible, remember, it's not just the Bible text about truth. It's about the person that the teaching of the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible points to. So the rock. So next word there we see in Matthew 32 and verse 4, the text where it says, "He is perfect." So what is perfection? What is perfection? Matthew 5:48. Let's go to that. The Lord said, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, our Father, our God is perfect. So, it is required that we be perfect. The word perfect incorporates the word sincere, upright, have integrity, reliability about you. Do you understand? So when we read the Bible, we know this, right? It's our life. It's our life. As just a being perfect. Do we come to that? Do we walk in the Word of God to come to that place? Or are we just say, "I'm a Christian. I have salvation, and that's all you want"? That's not it. Just, the next word you find in the text in Deuteronomy 32:4, just. So what is just? Isaiah 45, verse 21. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who have declared these from ancient time. who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there is none beside me. See, so the last part there, there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. You know, this is a very clear tag. There's no three gods, no three person in God. There's just God. And, you know, when it comes to realize the understanding of the Godhead, I laugh at myself. You know, sometimes I just reminisce about the past and how foolish I was, because I was trapped in the system, been taught the Trinity, and it's not just one God in three persons, but they are, to me, the three persons are actually so separate that they are actually three gods. Right? And they are all equal. So I prayed to them, as I said before, I spent time praying in 20 minutes, each of them. And I said, thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son. And now I said to the Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Then I turned to the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, thank you for anointing me. But then you see, when I come to the knowledge of the truth, it is God, the very same God Himself, just one, and God is a Spirit and not a person. You know, we say this, and you know, discussing with Christian out there, they don't realize. If not Jesus Christ a person, yes, Jesus Christ is a person. But God is not a person. But Jesus is God, therefore He is a person. You know how they equate words and so how things are? See, that's the reason why there's no knowledge of the truth of it. Huh? For we understand that the Spirit of God manifests and give His word, the fullness of His revelation, the counseling and manifest in the body of flesh called Jesus. And after Jesus died, He poured out His Spirit, and which is called the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. Just because the Bible used the word Holy Spirit, and then they got confused. But when they think about the Spirit of God, they say that the Father, when they come to the Holy Spirit, it's another Spirit. So you see the importance. If you don't know the truth, you never understand. And it's all about the person, God Himself. Do you understand? It's not about Jesus, it's about God Himself, who gave His Son to you and me. And He has to have a son, so that He can bring more sons and daughters unto Himself. And that's why Jesus must be born of a virgin. Nothing to do with mankind. It is God's new creation. The last Adam, the first Adam was Adam in the garden, was also a creation. Not born, a creation. Not born, a creation. And the woman, where was taken from? God did not create her separately. Huh? God created her from the side of Adam. And Jesus came as the last Adam, a new creation. And from the side of Jesus came forth the bride. God did not take the bride from somewhere else in the world. He took it from the side of His Son. And that's why we have the same creation from that, a new creation. Born again. You see the types and the shadows? The truth, the scripture is so wonderfully woven that it just shows the picture. Right. We understand that. So, let's go to Revelation 15. 3. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, thou King of sins. Right? It's just and true. Right, next let's go to the word truth. So what again, when we look at truth, it's faithfulness, reliability, steadfastness. Now let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. Now, if you look at the word Lord here, in always in capital letters, L-O-R-D, all in capitals, it always means Yahweh, okay, or Jehovah, if you want to use that term. Know therefore that Yahweh thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. Means it just a word means it for a long, long time. Okay? So look at it carefully. Who He keep His covenant and show mercy to them that love Him and those also who keep His commandment. Right. So God is merciful, just, a covenant maker. Now when we talk about a covenant is a promise, a vow, something that you make, an agreement. And it's very important that whenever we, as I said this many times, when you make a promise, make a covenant, make a vow, keep it. Because God hates those who break the covenant. Because we are supposed to be His children. If He is one that keep His covenant, so we must keep the covenant that we made. Alright? Next, Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, there we see the word without iniquity. Right? And He is just and upright. That's what the word says in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. Okay? Alright. So, we are secure in our God. Knowing that He keeps His covenant, He keeps His promises, and He saves His people, and He guaranteed them that those who love and keep His commandment, He will bless them all the years, their own generation down. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 32 again, and we read verse 30 to 31. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 2,000s to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges, for their vine, that's enough. So here is a record of what happened back then regarding the enemies of Israel. God is saying, how is it that to the children of Israel, how is it that you, 1,000, 2,000, ran away from just one person, from one soldiers of the enemy? How is it? Is this because our rock, our God, have sold Him, sold you out to them? You understand what I'm saying? You see the person, yet you find the verse, they are rocks. That means that God is nothing. Our rock is something. He's in control. If you disobey, you rebellious bunch of people, then our rock, our God, will put you to flight. From the enemy, thousands of you will run for just one or two. Do you remember Elisha and his servant Gehazi? The story of that, do you remember? Here we have children of Israel were under the Israel king. I can't remember his name, who was in charge, but the enemy, the Syrian, the children of Israel, were being punished by God. Elisha called for a drought. There was no rain, no, there was a drought. God is trying to make the king and the people to understand. So, when they were there, the king was wanting the head of Elijah. Elijah wasn't afraid. And with his servant Gehazi, one day they saw the camp of the enemies out there. And Gehazi said, look, there are so many of them. And Elijah said, well, if you only could see, no, so we have a big army. God's army is around us. And Elisha prayed to the Lord to open the eyes of his servant. And when God opened his eyes, he said, wow, chariots of fire. You know, God waves the fire because the angels, you know, Sarap. Wow, that's a lot of them. And true. And yet, it comes to a state where even when the people have no food and all this, God did a miracle to Elisha. He said, even tomorrow you have a lot, you would have food. It's unbelievable. How can you have food tomorrow? But here God did a miracle. Elisha and Gehazi saw what was going on out there in the enemy camp. They went there, everybody was running away from that place, and you have four blind men. I think there were four blind men that was in the city. He said, well, we stay here, we die too. We go out, we have no food, we die too. Well, we must just get out. So they got out of the city and went to walk towards the enemy, and they saw there were no enemies out there. The camps were, the people were all gone. So when he went there and he saw the tents there, the food there, gold was there. And they were trying to keep the gold for themselves. They felt guilty. He said, no, we should tell the people in the city that there is food. And sure enough, the word of Elijah came to pass. You see, our God, He keeps His promise. He is the rock. He is not a rock. He is the God Almighty. He is not a God, a God among all gods. There is no other gods. He is the only one. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to think seriously about the faith that you have. You look all around, you know, you see all the various religions. But I want you to, even many denominations out there, they have the interpretation of the Bible. And we have only one Bible, and there can only be one interpretation of what we see that is true. I'm not talking about type and shadow. You can use type and shadow to give illustration differently. Yes, they come to the same point. But when it comes to the Bible, we must understand that the truth is the person, and the person is giving out his teaching, guiding us the way that he wants us to go. And that's the reason why we cannot have all this strange teaching of water baptism and then Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There's one good example. You know, I was happening to be, watching a link that somebody sent me, not through WhatsApp, and just look at it, and it goes to YouTube, and then, strangely, you know, the link has one post, which I think it is a Singapore post anyway, because it's mentioned about the City Harvest case. So I was interested, so I just clicked on it, and it was an article about the time back, I don't know what year that was, when the pastor, you know, and some of the elders and advisor, whatever it is, five of them, I think, or six, that were arrested for misappropriating the fund. And there was another link that shows where the fund goes. It goes, to, of course, to promote the Gonghis of the pastor's wife pop career. And this person who wrote it, and I believe it must be a Christian, he wrote and said, look at what's going on. Promoting the wife as a pop star, and look at how she dressed and how she, the activity that she is in. And there was a link on the YouTube, and I couldn't believe what I saw. So Wally dressed the makeup among all those who are doing all those, you know, pop music, that kind of a dance and all that. Says, wow. You see, charismaticism may be a one, maybe the, I would say a popular, or the most popular, most populated group of people in this end time. From the realm of the Christian religion, or we say Christendom, because it's so entertaining. It's very, very entertaining. In Africa, you can see that. Africa has become pop, proliferated, of course, with also charismatic movement. You know, in the first place, the African people also like to dance. And this makes them even more interesting to dance. And of course, there are all kinds of things being said. And that's why they keep pouring out money. And the issue is about money. Throw your money here. You know, God bless you, prosper you, and so on. It's all about prosperity message. Hey, truth is not about tidings, that God is going to bless you about this and that, and the misquotes of the Bible, you know. Let me tell you this, as I said, this, the truth is about a person. Truth, our rock. And we always sing the song, Rock of Ages, cry for me. Christ is our rock. When God told Moses, Moses said, I want to see you, Lord. He said, no, you are not going to see me. You can't. But I want to stand in the cleft of the rock. And I was on the mountainside. There was this cleft of the rock. Go there, and I will show you who I am. And Moses was there, and he saw the back of God, right? Cleft of the rock. Rock of the angels, cleft for me. If we are in the rock, if we know the rock, we know the truth. Truth is a person. Then we better listen closely. And when you say listen, don't listen to your own interpretation of the Word of God. Don't listen to what tradition has given you. Be wise and discerning. Because we have a bunch of people out there. You're so insincere. Alright. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 41. 29. Isaiah 41:29. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Yeah, that's very true. We're talking about the rocks. Those are the rocks, those are the so-called gods. They are vanities, man-made. Now, in Christianity, many times people wear a chain with a cross, with a cross. And you find very common among those who are in the Catholic faith. Protestants, they know the value, but they don't act like what many of those. Well, I don't know, you see people, you know, like the Jamaican guy, what, Usain Bolt? When he run, he win, he go, you know, whatever, how he do that action, right? Then others who are very religious, after he win or whatever, take the cross, kiss it. I mean, what value is that? You see, all these are vanities. And here we have in Branhamism. Ah, Branhamism? A brother, Charles O'Bone, was texting me just yesterday, talking about how that some of the churches in Africa have been, you know, Branhamite, Branhamic preacher went in and started to teach all sorts of things and break up the church. And many of them have the money to woo the people. That's why some foreign preachers will go to a foreign land. Preacher to go to a foreign land, whether from America, Israel, whatever, or from one part of Africa to another part of Africa, they have the money. And they will go there and start a problem and using the money to buy, to give them gifts. And churches were spread, and this brother was telling me this Branhamic preacher has money. And the church was spread out. The filthy thing that they are doing. And here, well, Branhamism, we know was in Kinshasa years ago in DRC Congo with Brother Nines. I think the first time I was there, he was not there with me, if I remember correctly. I was invited there. And I think this was not Kinshasa, sorry, this was in Ivory Coast. And there was this, and was prime minister, and there was after fellowship, I see, oh, I mean, there's a Branhamic church. And there was this minister, you know, was so proud winning, as I said, this election campaign button. This is what they call it, right? In America, you see, in Singapore, we don't have it. In America, many countries, you have a picture like America, you have, you know, whether it's a flag of the Republican or Democrat or president whom you're voting for. But over there, this, because with this young man, it was this, about this size, about the size of a, slightly bigger than a golf ball, but it's a button, wearing it on the lapel of his coat, very proudly. And it was a picture of Brother Branham with the halo. Well, he was campaigning for Brother Branham to be a president or whatever, to get the people to understand, and that you believe him, because he's going to change your life. There are people that they believe problems are going to change your life. Then all kinds of things, you know. You see, that's what we have. This is an idol. This is vanity. You get what I'm saying? You know, in your home, you put up your photograph. Your wedding photograph, your children photograph, your family photograph, right? Correct? Do you put up Luther's photograph? John Wesley? Branham? Paul? You put all this, put it up. Would you put it up? Some people would, so that when Sergio comes, he say, hey, who are these people? Now, I'm going to tell you about the great messenger they got sent. And so that's the story. You know. Well, and that is so true. This is vanity. So let us keep away from it. Jeremiah, chapter 10. Now here he is. This Jeremiah, oh my, I can, he is one prophet at that time who saw the thing that was going on in his nation, and he cried for them, he lamented. Lamentation was written by him. And this was the crying prophet. Now let's go in the crying prophet. Jeremiah 10 and verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Yeah, I still remember when I was young. You know, growing up, living with my father's first wife too. Come a certain festival, I can't remember what festival it was anyway. And that's when foods are available. Huh. Now, of course, in Chinese New Year, Lunar, Chinese New Year Eve, people gather together, got a reunion, that's where the food is. But that festival, I don't know what it was. There's chicken, I mean, and there's pork, and there's all kinds of food, and it's offered to the idol. I don't know what idol there was, I can't remember now, it's more of a picture, and more like Topekong or the kitchen god or something, I don't know. So we were just queuing up to wave the joystick, I think, whether it's tree, and I've been to the temple, as I said before, when when I came into the message, I was going out to Johor Bahru, to Malacca, and then also to KL and Penang. I either went by myself by train or the bus, and I would go out there with a bunch of tracks and my Bible, and I would go to house to house and minister the word of God, you know. So when I go to Penang, it took about 8 hours by train to go up there, and then I have bus to go to a certain area where I used to go, and I have to take a shortcut and we pass through a temple. You know, so you don't go to temple, of course, it's just a courtyard. And the temple is there. When you come down, you see the temple there, you can see the idols there. Big, tall idols. Then you have to go by the side of the courtyard to get through to the other side. And then on the courtyard, you see totos and all that, and people will take toto and they sort of worship the toto, reverend the toto. So over there, you know, often when I pass through there, you can see people with three joysticks or a bunch of joysticks. I don't know what's the significance of three joysticks or what the significance of even one or the significance of a whole bunch. I didn't go about finding out what all this whole thing was all about. But I see the whole thing there. And just as the Bible said, you know, whether you have an altar in the home, or whether it is the figurine of the Virgin Mary with Jesus in her arm or whatever, and the Bible said it's true. These are brutish. This thing has no, it's falsehood and there's no breath in them. People who create them, they are brutish. The people who make them, they get you to believe in it. I know Jeremiah is very upset. This is a nation who has been given the oracles. Right? They are supposed to know better, know God, know Yahweh. How is it that they veered from that into an idol, worshiping of an idol? Huh? So, isn't it the same that we have in Christianity? Or Christendom. The different kind. Not necessarily of idols, but man worship. Yeah, I know the people look up the leadership. I know that. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The most important thing is who you follow. Because in Bible days of old, there are those who follow Simeon, the sorcerer, right? They don't even know, they think that he got some power, so they follow. And today, many Christians are following preacher with the gap, with the gift of the gap. A preacher who can smooth talk you. Preacher who can pat you on the back to make you feel good. And the Bible tells them when you come to the house of the Lord, you have to be judged, right? And he should feel terrible. So, the preacher really preach hard? Huh? About facts. So I say this one thing to people about charismaticism. Remove the music. The kind that they are singing, the kind that they are playing. And see where the young people will go. It's the music. It's a disco type music. Yeah. And there are people that come. And so it draw more people. So, whoa, from 1,000 to 5,000, 10,000 to 20,000 in a year. Because they entertain. Go to the pulpit, preacher, and preach against immorality. How the woman should dress. Not like the world. Today, you know, Singapore is getting so terrible. You go out there, you see, well, I was thinking one or two women. Either they dress so skimpy with the short, or in a tight pen, you know, those pants that you go to the gym type. You know, what is going on? Yeah, of course, today, hardly, well, I was told that the cosmetic industry is losing money because people are wearing masks and nobody put on their makeup because the mask up there. So what is that for people to see? Vanity, oh vanity. You came into the world naked, you are going out of this world naked. For sure. Right? When God created Adam, was Adam wearing a clothes or trousers or nothing, right? You know, when he died, of course, they buried you with the clothing and all that, but you, that's nothing, he's gone. That's true. Yeah, many times when I look into, when I hear news and I see video and the news, I cry many times and become very upset. Upset about the situation of nature brought about by man. And I wonder why God allows it. Now, come on, well, I ask this question not because I do not know, but it's just that, you know, the emotion. See, children born with defects. Just a recent case of a couple who give birth to a daughter who have this liver defects. Huh? Sad. And you see the situation in other countries of the world where children have no food, droughts. Ah. God's time is for mankind is about up. You've got Christ is coming up to clear up the mess and bring in a new era. Now, so when we look into what we have, don't try to imagine how good looks like. I mean, many times I had this meditation and fascination about my body, the human body. You know, it's the way it is built, you know. We eat food and it goes into our stomach, and the stomach churn. Then the intestine absorb and don't know whatever else, and things throw out the nutrient. What nutrients? Chemicals, minerals, whatever is absorbed. And then the heart beat, four chamber. You know, the active vessel to push up down and put the blood up and put the lungs. And you think, and then how the brain works? It's just like a tofu thing, you know, convoluted. Huh? And yet, it stores information there. So, wow. Then I was thinking, what about God? God, your spirit. Do you have a heart? Does God have a heart? Does God have a stomach? Right. Because the spirit doesn't need that. But the thing is that when God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, oh, that's what we need. That God make this whole, design this whole human body inside to deal with life. And we are upright because we're in the likeness of God. You know, but what, I mean, when we look at every one of us, oh, this is how you look like, how we look like. We all are okay, but if we are actually like an elephant or a tiger on four legs, So one tiger look at the other tiger, haha, you're handsome, you're okay. Huh? Another one look at the other tiger, yeah, you look like me also, we all look okay, we look alright. So, you know, when you look at nature, every animal's species, the way it was created, was so magnificent. But in a humankind, because you are making the image of likeness of God, we have the ability to communicate, to create, to be in control of the environment. The animals do not. They just go like elephant. They go to the place, they eat, and then they keep moving in another place. Some birds, yeah, they migrate south for the winter, I mean, for the summer or for the winter, whatever, opposite direction, but because they have this instinct built. But man has more than just instinct. Man is created to have the intellect of God. And that's why when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, God said, man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. The way that good and evil is known today. Does God know good and evil in the way that mankind know? God knows. God knows what is sin. God knows what is things that are wicked and evil. And mankind has come to that state and continue to do that. But God himself, in his mercy and grace, he could have wiped out mankind just like that after he did the first time in the days of Noah. Right? He said, repent of me to have done this. He repented me even to have created man. It pained God. But here today in the world that we're seeing, mankind came on destroying. And the hatreds came on building up. Because this world belongs to the devil. Huh? It belongs to the devil. And so, God has given him a certain time to do with what he has to do. So now God is required of us. God is truth, but God required us to do something about this truth that he is giving to man. The first thing he does, the man should do, is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 1. Run, you, to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. If there be any that execute judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. The broad ways, the broad places. Now, look at the world today, look at some of these terrible places that is out there. Even today's Hollywood is making all this movie about the present world, the future world, science fiction. And the show, they're making story up, and I believe that that is what they are doing, is have some truth in it, in the sense that because people are getting more wicked. Their life become more immoral. That's why here Jeremiah was told by God, go and find out if you can find in the broad places a man or anyone that execute judgment and seek the truth, and I will pardon it. Today you find people are getting more wicked, more evil. That's so very true, isn't it? And a lot of scam. People don't care about what happened to you. They scam your money. Jeremiah, that's right. Seek it. We have to seek for the truth. Number one. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Same book, chapter 29, verse 11 to 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Ah, that's wonderful, right? God said to the children of Israel, that's what it is. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. In verse 14. And I will be found of you. If you seek me and find me and search for me with all your heart. There are people who don't really search the Lord. Oh, I already found him. I found him. That's enough. I told you back then, I think before many of you young ones was born, the millennium was born. Back then, before these big crusades, American evangelists come, holy big crusades in the stadium. And in one crusade, they were producing some kind of a card or a button, also a campaign button, and the words there written, I found it. You heard of it? No. No, you're not born yet. I found it. I don't know, Brother Jimmy, remember or not. What did you find? You found what? Yeah, I found the Savior. And I'm a Christian now. That's good. You know, it's not that you find Christ, but it's Christ who finds you. No man seek after the God, but God seek after man. But there the Bible says you seek for him. Yes, because the Lord put the herd in your before you and stirred up something. I don't know that. I heard all these idols when I was young. When my mom talked to me about Jesus, hey, there is something interesting here. There is something about that name. So it's still within my heart to search for him. Like I remember I told you this. The missionary went over to a foreign land to preach. And after he preached and he laughed, and here was a young lady follow after him, calling him, sir, please tell me his name again. Tell me his name again. There is something about that name. The Jesus of Nazareth. Not the Jesus out there in Spain or Europe. You know, Jesus? They wrote the name, the way they write their name, Jesus, is not H-E-S-U-S, but J. So a lot of people don't know, oh, your name is Jesus. Spanish name. Huh. Right. That's what the Bible let us know very well. There are many Jesuses in the time of Jesus. But there is only one Jesus of Nazareth. A Galilean. Right. Psalms 15:12. You seek for it, now you speak it. Psalms 15. And there's one simple way for all of you, if you want to have some scripture, put your hand in the middle of your Bible somewhere and you open up, you get some scripture. Okay? Psalms 15, verse 2. He that walk uprightly and work righteousness and speak the truth in his heart. Speak the truth from your heart. Speak the truth. Not speak the truth in your own heart. Eh? The truth that is in the heart, speak. Those who walk uprightly and work righteousness. Jeremiah. And see what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 1 to 9. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might wipe, and that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place, a seafaring man, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterer and example of treacherous men. You know how that this lamenting prophet is crying out and all day and night. He just want to leave the place and be alone. And they bend their tongues. Ah, they bend their tongues like bow for lies. You know how you bend your tongues? You know what bow and arrow is? You bend your bow, right? When you bend, you know what I mean by bending your bow? You bend your bow and you let go. So now you bend your tongue. Out shoots lies. Oh my. So I wonder what the same is the condition in Christianity today, in Christendom, even in Branhamism. Branhamites are telling a lot of lies there. They do not hesitate to tell lies. And even of those preachers that I know, they even continue to tell lies who are not even Branhamites, but they will continue to tell lies too. Like the one that I post on a website about John T. I talked to the brother, you know, about Charles Obun, and I said, have you read it? He says, not yet. And he said, one person wrote it, and he said to me, he said, oh, it is like killing a chicken with a gun. I said, yeah. Who's the chicken? The pastor over there, right? And I'm the one with the gun. The article, he said the article, you know, shows that I'm the king of chicken with a gun. I said, yeah, brother. I said, you know what? Jesus Christ killed the Pharisees with a bazooka. Hey! The problem is these people don't like to be told the truth. Think about it. We read in the word where Paul talks about Peter when he rebuked Peter. The Bible just said he rebuked him before the elders, right? Wow. If you were there and you were standing with Peter, or you were a Peterite or some other group, and you saw Paul openly rebuke Peter before the elders, wow, I don't know what you would say about Paul. Well, that's why the Bible here says speak the truth. You see, when people bend their tongue and shoot out lies, they need to be dealt with. They need to be exposed. If you speak lies about, I was thinking, if that Pastor John Tay had tell lies to the congregation, I wouldn't have known. But because it was a big meeting and he was trying to show something that made himself a big guy, and he had guest speaker there, two foreign guest speaker, and he put it on the Facebook. I didn't even know that somebody called, told me about that, and that somebody was a member of his church. That's true. You openly when you openly lied, then you have openly dealt with. If the Pharisees were to preach what they want to preach to their people, Jesus would not have rebuked them. Correct? Did Jesus Christ rebuke the Romans for their worship of Esther? Huh? Did Jesus rebuke the Romans for worshipping of Jupiter, Zeus? No. Because the Pharisees were twisting the word of God and openly challenged Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ said, hey, what unto you, hypocrites, you serpent, you vipers? Well, they're shooting them with a bazooka. I think maybe it's bigger than a bazooka. What's bigger than a bazooka? A cannon? Boom. Right. And some serpents are hard to kill, you know that? You know, some serpents are hard to kill. Some snakes are very hard to kill. You've got to give them a big one. You know, you take a snake, whack them in, they wouldn't die. You've got to give them a baseball bat. Or the big slant hammer. And you think about how Jeremiah feel. He was a lamenting prophet. The thing that is going on in Israel. Let's go back and read it. Verse 3. They bend their tongues like bow, like their bow for lies, but they had not valiant for truth upon their hand. I have no belly for truth. They won't tell the truth. Even when I question, I say, why do you say do this? And tell all kinds of things, twist the word. The same thing with Peter Wong over here, Peter Lim out there. And even the news, it came to me, yeah, I already know. The lies of how many people Peter Lim? But again, he's controlling the people, he has a neglected spirit. Wow. And that's what John Tay was trying to say, I'm trying to control his ministry. I hardly even know him at anything. I know Brother Nice very well, Andrew Peary. Ask them, if I ever tell them what to preach, what to do. I know my Bible. I'm not a man who try to control anybody at all. Like many will tell me, Brother Gunn used to preach exactly what Brother Abraham said. Say what Brother Abraham said, this and that, or else and that, and said blah, 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 blah. We have a lot of liars. And I want you to remember that liars, the Bible said, have their parts in the lake of fire. They have their parts in the lake of fire. Don't take it lightly. How many lies have you to tell? And when you're told that you have told a lie, what are you going to do? Huh? Peter played a hypocrite. Do you think he excused himself this and that? He kept his mouth shut. And probably found a place to repent. And behave no more what he did before. And they are not valid for truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil to evil to evil. And they know not me, saith the Lord. Yep, once you have sinned, come in evil, you know what? You keep on rolling if you don't want to repent. Verse 4. Then ye hid every one of his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother. Ah, don't trust any brother out there, don't you think? You need to know who you believe in. Yeah, we have probably in our fellowship for many years, over the years. Brother and sister, come here, go there, come here, go there, and they're confused because of what people are doing. What those so-called believers, people who think that they have a ministry. Huh? Wow, grow up, brother and sister. Be discerning and know. Don't trust anybody. Like today, people get scammed, right? Why? Because on the email, come, hey, we are from the Bible, from this investment, this is good. Invest some more, invest some more. And you are just greedy to hear all that. Right. And you like perhaps to hear, oh, Richard Gann. You know, I'm very well known around the way in anti-message people. The moment I step up from Branhamism and hit it out, hey, my name is everywhere. Even in the denomination, they know me. You wonder why? How is it possible? You stand for truth, you'll be in trouble. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lie. Huh? They have been taught their tongue to speak lie. So every time they speak something, it's lie. Lie. Lies. And weary themselves to commit iniquity. And that's the worst thing. Iniquity. Huh? Of all sin, God hates the most is iniquity. Remember what iniquity is? It's iniquity. You remember iniquity? It is like Abraham told Sarah. Tell Elimelech or tell the Pharaoh that I'm your brother, that you are not my, that I'm not your husband. Wow. That's a lie. So what happened? He put Sarah in a situation. Oh, what? If he said that Pharaoh Elimelech married her, what happened? She would have two husbands. Abraham put her in that situation. That's a sin of iniquity. Understood out there, you understand? Understand that. The sin and iniquity is what God hates the most. Read the Bible. Go and Google the word iniquity. Search in the Bible search. And you'll find the word iniquity, how it is applied. Huh? God said you will visit until the fourth generation. Oh, that's terrible. Okay. Verse 6, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, said the Lord. Therefore, thou said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? That's for Jerusalem, my people. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in the heart he lay his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things? Said the Lord. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this Israel? That's sick. The first 8 is what I liked. Oh, verse 9, sir. Verse 8 and 9, as you see. If anyone speak lie, speak one thing about, oh, yeah, my brother, this and that, behind, shoot him down. Shoot him down. Right. What do you do? God says, I hate them. What are you going to do? Do you think I will not judge them? 1 Timothy 2:7. Wherefore, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. The teacher of the Gentile in faith and verity. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. That's why we can trust Paul. A man who stood and firm in what he said. Right. So now we seek it, we stick it. And last, the third thing is walk in it. 2 Kings 20:3. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah wept sore. You know, when the news came to Hezekiah that he's going to die, to get his house in order, but because he prayed to the Lord, and now honest man, sincere man, good, who walk in the word of the Lord, in the truth of God, and the Lord then give him another 15 years to live. You see? So, most importantly, of course, we need to turn around and do what is right. 1 John 1:6. A lot of scripture, because I want you to know about truth. 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We are liars. So, if we say that we have fellowship with God, then let us walk in the truth, in the light. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 3 John 4. I mean, there's no chapter, right? So we got lost on that. See, Joel is very happy. I'm no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in the truth. It's just not about knowledge. But you have it, walk in it. So, let us see what comparing God to human being. Romans 3:3-7. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true. But every man a liar, hath this is written, that thou might be justified in thy saying, and might overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commandeth the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God's unrighteousness which taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie in unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sin? So there's a comparison between God's faithfulness or his truth compared to what we think it is. We cannot change the word of God by lying. You know, there's sometimes this preacher, the way this they go about twisting the word of God, bend their tongue and speak lying. Does it change God's dealing with human? No, not at all. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Yes, sir, we need to be sanctified. 3 John. Again, back to 3 John. And we have verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as thou walkest in the truth. As long as walking the truth, God is happy. Alright, so now we realize the truth is not something what is just dependable, but what is actually the state of affair. Things that really are, because what we believe, we know the truth is not just about truth itself like that, but truth is about a person, that we have a relation, the person is real. What is given to us, we learn from it. Alright, so you cannot just say, oh, I believe the Bible is one, I believe the Bible is what it says. But the thing is that it's about that person that we know who says, I am the truth. John 8:12. Few more verses. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again to them, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of truth. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, and truth is not something that you can discern by hard thinking. The harder you think about truth, you think you get it. You only give you a headache. Most of the time. All you do is just meditate and just relax and think about the person. The person. And if you know the person well enough, you'll be able to discern what he's trying to tell you. Huh? Thou shalt know the truth, and truth will set you free. Yeah, people today say they know the truth, but they are not set free. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's the reason the Holy Ghost is given for the purpose. But a lot of people say, I have the Holy Ghost, but they are not listening, not hearing. Right? Now we know that Jesus is the truth, because John 1:14 said the Word was being manifest. The Word was in Christ. The Word was in Jesus. John 5:30. I cannot my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which who have sent me. So the Father is the one that gives him the truth, and so he speaks the truth. So the truth is in God, Yahweh, but the only way I just said, no man come unto the Father but by me, I am the truth, because the truth is now centered on him. So the Bible is not about Jesus. It is because God wanted the world to know him. Yahweh wanted the world to know Yahweh himself. But the only way that they will only know Yahweh is when Yahweh manifests in the flesh. Right? Do you understand that? And so it is centered upon Jesus, or the Christ, Logos. Chapter 8, verse 26. I have many things to say to judge, and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. There is God through the Spirit manifest to him, to the world, through him to the world. Chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. So the faithfulness is in him. Chapter 8, verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So Jesus Christ has a Father. I want you to know that. Because if God is God, God cannot have Father. So that Jesus is called the Son of God. He's not equal to the Father. Correct? He's the Son. God is the Father. But because all the word of the Father was put into Christ, so he says that I have the same power and the same authority as the Father. So whatever I said is the authority of the Father, because the Father has given me the authority. But when after all things is put down, death is put down, remember in the book of Corinthians, what Paul said, Jesus Christ will hand back all the authority back to the Father, right? And himself will be subjected to the Father. That's what Jesus Christ said, my Father is the same as your Father. My God is the God that you also worship. Jesus worship a God. The God. Yahweh. Right? Yahweh is his Father. Yahweh is his God. The same as Yahweh is our Father and our God. Is it difficult to understand about the Godhead? Alright, so knowledge of the truth is not theoretical. It's not just a theory. Huh? Okay? But it is a person. And that person gives salvation. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, that is God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth sanctifies us. We know thy word is true, Jesus said to the Father. 2 Timothy 3:6-7, we read that. For of this sort are they which creep into a house and lead captive silly women laden with sin and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So let us never ever do that. Alright? So let us always learning but come to the knowledge of it. Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Again, let us give heed to the truth. Because we need the if we have the truth, this must be an evidence in our life. Some people say I have the truth, but you don't see it in them. There is the evidence must is needed in your life to show that it is, that you have the truth. 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. No, you obey the truth. Do you have the truth? So obeying the truth to the Spirit and to unfeigned love. Because truth is love. Remember, love proceeds forth from truth. If you have truth, love will come forth. You get it? And it will draw love back to you. And that's what Rebecca had when he heard about the truth that from the mouth of Eliezer about Abraham, Isaac, and it draws her to go and get the truth. 1 John 2:4. He that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Liar! This fool will tell you. That's why a preacher can tell lie, and when you tell them, this is not what it is. They give excuses. How can that be? He that said, I know Jesus, I know the truth, I know Yahweh, and keep not his commandment, is a liar. When the commandments of thou shalt not lie. So, in the end, conclusion, let me say these three things that I have my points in. Truth is a practical thing. Truth, if you have it, it will show you that you are mature. There's a sign of maturity if you have truth. The third thing is this. Truth is God's purpose in our creation. Hey, God's still creating on us. They're still working on us, right? He's still working on, you understand? We are a new creature. And being that we are a new creature, We learn God's way, not the things of the world. And that's why daily the Word of God that we study, the fellowship that we have, the worship of God and our own meditation in our own time, the Spirit of God takes the Word and purges us of the things of this world. Keep it away from us. We are in this world, but this world is not our home. The problem is while we are walking through this world, the tendency is that we will pick up some of the things of the world, the habits of the world, right? And some of the habits, some of the things of the world is bad. When I think back in my younger days, the games that we play, what do we have all those Nintendo things and what are the PlayStation thing? What we play is the marble. Huh? Or just rubber band. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the chate, you know chate where you kick the feather thing? Yeah, it's just like a shuttlecock, you know, where you kick with your leg and keep it staying in the air. What else do we play when we were young? Five sticks, five stone, whatever. But today, wow! Right. In those days when we greet each other, hello, that's it, but that's your hand. But today, we greet each other and then we got all kind of signs. I don't know what all these signs does. It got to look weird. Is it a peace sign? First, there's a peace sign, right? We know those days, peace sign. Then now this sign become like that. This way and that way, and then, I don't know, inverted sign too. Huh? And then we have, what is this? You know, we have all this new sign that comes out because the word change, the K-pop thing and the J-pop thing. The world changes a lot. And then we see what? All the years back, how many years ago? And Chinese, you know, well, there's some kind of Chinese word that is said about Chinese people want to look like the white people, they put their hair blonde, you know, they put dye their hair yellow or gold or whatever color they have. Yeah. And all the fancy, you mean, I remember back when I was young, what do you have? You see woman with just a little small ring, huh? That's it. But today the rings are big. And then they want to make up the dark eyeshadows. And then the mascara. Wow, sometimes very long. Like bird feathers, you know. So we have in the world that is, well, the devil has a way, right? To get people into this state. To make them enjoy what we call, what the thing is life. And then they drift further from God, far away. But God doesn't want us to be part of this world. No, we are not of this world. We're just passing through. We can pick up some habits of the world, but drop it. Some of them, it's not worth it. Drop it. Don't let it become a burden in our life to hold to us. You get it? The whole deal. That's true. And the Lord bless every one of you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have been to us. Heavenly Father, we praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Take the word and bring it further, Lord. Let the truth always be that the Lord Jesus Christ is always the priority. The truth is Christ Jesus Himself. And Lord, wherever we go, our spirit, our heart, our mind, our soul will always look to that person. To look at the truth that is before us, who walk with us. Father, help us, as your word say, Lord, that you have sanctified us. Cleanse us of all these things that is in the world as we walk on this pilgrimage journey, Lord. And Father, we are looking. We are looking up. We are not looking down. with all this problem that is in the world today, which is so disheartening. Father, we are looking up and we see the blue sky. Loyalty. Because blue is what you are, Father. You're loyal to your word. You're truthful to your word. And we ask that you, Lord, when we are down, looking down the earth with all the brown stuff, green stuff, and all the filth that is on the ground, this earth, help us, Lord, and just say, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Father, bless us then, Father. Ask that you bless the rest of the day in Jesus' name.